You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.
On the next episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes,
it is agave time. And this is our Agave 101 episode. Lots of things come from this plant, which is a bit like aloe, but we're going to focus on agave plants used with alcohol. Now, the short list is tequila and mezcal, but there are a few things maybe you did not know in this 101 discussion. I know that I've learned a lot of things just in the basic research for this episode.
The plant itself is grown all over the world with over 300 varieties, and 200 of them grow in Mexico.
We'll be right back after this break. Live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. We are the best thing on at 2 a.m., and we thank you for choosing to listen to us instead of pharmaceuticals with Mike. Yes, you're actually hearing my post-production voice right now, but when we recorded this originally, I was fighting a very bad case of bronchitis. So you're going to hear the voice that you hear now, as well as the day of recording. So don't be alarmed if it sounds different. We are just bouncing between me being able to speak well or coughing through the whole experience. Well, I'm good old boy Mike, and joining me here at the table are good old boy Michael.
How's the Ricola and the Mezcal?
And good old gal, Carrie Ann.
Hola.
So fabulous to have you both join me again. Now, Michael is the author of something like 14 cocktail books now.
A little bit less, but yeah.
Most notably, The Garden to Glass, one of my favorites. Carrie Ann is always talking alcohol on her blog, which is called 615, and she has many other projects in the works as well. You can check out those details on our show notes as well. Our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, and coffee. It is agave time. And this is our Agave 101 episode. Lots of things come from this plant, which is a bit like aloe, but we're going to focus on agave plants used with alcohol. Now, the short list is tequila and mezcal, but there are a few things maybe you did not know in this 101 discussion. I know that I've learned a lot of things just in the basic research for this episode. I'm just going to apologize in advance for butchering the pronunciation of these brands, all of these lovely towns and states in Mexico, all of these nice Spanish words that this good old boy simply cannot roll my R's well enough. I flunked out of Spanish in the 9th grade, and nearly all of the Spanish I know was acquired from working at El Chico as a bartender.
Try El Chico's noisy new fajitas. We're really cooking now.
Well, let's get to some agave. I'm feeling rather wild. And to get us going actually is going to be good old gal Carrie Ann.
So romantic. We're just going to dive into agave. The plant itself is grown all over the world with over 300 varieties, and 200 of them grow in Mexico. Some of those other global locations are Australia, South Africa, and across the southwest of the United States. Agaves thrive in hot, arid climates with well-draining soil, making them suitable for regions experiencing drought or water scarcity. Agave can be used for biofuel, ecological restoration, and CO2 capture. Here are the basic parts of this plant. The four major edible parts of the agave are the flowers, the leaves, the stalks, or basal rosettes, and the sap. In Spanish, they call that agua miel, meaning honey water. One more important element is how this plant reproduces. All varieties of agave reproduce sexually. Agaves are monocarpic, meaning they flower once towards the end of their life cycle. The primary pollinators of agave are nectar-eating bats, and then hummingbirds and hawk's moths also help them cross-pollinate. Upon flowering, the agave will send all of its sugars up into the quiote, or flowering stalk, to fuel its reproduction. Once the plant has flowered, it cannot be used any longer to produce mezcal of any sort, as all the good stuff goes to the flower and then it dies. So producers are harvesting the agave plant just right before it flowers and getting as much of the sugars as they can into those piñas. So the heart of the plant is the piña, and this is what we use exclusively for producing the tequila, mezcal, sotol, ricia, and bacanora. Each of these various versions of alcohol also trace back to different parts of Mexico. There have been concerted efforts to define label and production. The General Directorate of Norms within the Secretariat of the Economy of Mexico is the ultimate authority of the domain of origin. Certifying bodies and verifiers are authorized by the Mexican government to evaluate and certify DO products. The most well-known certifying body is the Consejo Regulador del Mezcal, CRM. The compulsory standards and regulations for mezcal and tequila are defined in the Norma Oficial Mexicana. So, let's get a drink in.
Yes.
We're going to start off with a sotol, which is generally from the Chihuahua, Coahuila, and Durango regions. And this is a cousin of the agave plant. It was widely considered an agave for quite a long time until they did some DNA research and decided it was a cousin and not an exact species of it. It's sometimes called desert spoon plant, or the more technical term, Michael?
Dazzlerian.
That one. So the one we're tasting today is La Pulga. And side note, my friend Ali Ochoa put this brand together as their head of spirits and master blender out of Texas.
And it's fairly new. This particular sotol is new to the market. Mike, why don't you tell us all about this?
This is La Pulga Sotol Silver. 80 proof. This is from the Chihuahua region, so central Mexico. The producer describes this as notes of earthy, herbal tones blended with hints of citrus and a touch of smoky sweetness, creating a smooth and balanced finish.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's just such a beautiful example of the pure agave just that crisp agave flavor.
Yeah, I really thought it's a great on-ramp and a really great place to start. I would almost say that intentionally, if you are just getting into agave spirits, this is a terrific place to start. You know, my tasting notes here for this particular Sotal is it's very sweet and floral in the nose. It's very sweet up front. There's some pepper. It's very subdued. I love this sweet pepper finish off this. Mm-hmm. How about you, Mike?
Yeah, I got some cool mint and celery, some herbaceous stuff going on. And I really liked how clean it was on the nose and how like you get like a lot of great agave spirits, the really clean ones. You get like notes of like the ocean and mm-hmm. It's like standing by the ocean breeze.
Terroir, I think, comes across in agave more than any other spirit, personally.
Yeah, no, I agree. I actually made a margarita, from scratch last night with this, and I loved it. I thought it was really, really cool. So, well, our sips rating here for the Sotal is actually going to be a 4.
That's classified.
So, really fabulous. And a great buy.
Well done, Ali.
We'll be right back right after this message.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, welcome back to Sip, Suds, and Smokes. And this is our Agave 101 episode. And yet we started by tasting not quite agave. So the Sotal from La Puga. Am I saying close?
La Puga. It La means Puga. The flea.
Okay. All righty. We're going to shift to two of the more popular versions of agave spirit, which are actually tequila and mezcal. And Michael's going to cover all about tequila here for us. So,
yeah, so we're going to start with tequila, which is very popular, but I'm going to toss in some things that you probably don't know. Tequila is from the agave plant and one variety, Blue Weber Agave. Tequila can only be legally produced in certain regions of Mexico, specifically Jalisco and parts of Guanajuato, Michoacán, Nayarit, and Tamaulipas.
What he said.
Jalisco is the primary production area, particularly the area around Tequila, Arandas, and the highlands, Los Altos. Agave plants mature slowly, taking 7 to 10 years to develop the sugars in the piña, i.e. the heart or the core, which are essential for tequila production. The production of quality tequila involves several steps, each affecting the flavor and profile. Step 1, cultivate the agave plant. Only in regions with a DO, a denominational origin. Selecting quality agave plants. Cultivation begins with planting healthy hijuelos, or baby agave plants, which take about 7 to 10 years to mature. Tequilas made from well-tended, mature plants yield richer flavors. Step 2, harvest the agave plant. Once the piña is mature, agave plants are harvested only when fully mature, which is, again, 7 to 10 years. Selection process. Premium tequilas use mature plants, while younger agave may result in milder flavors. For step 3, we cook the agave plant. Bake it or steam it to caramelize the sugars. Use brick ovens or hornos, which is a traditional slow cooking method that produces caramelized flavors over 24 to 48 hours. Then there's the autoclaves, high-pressure steam ovens that cut cooking time to 7 to 12 hours, preserving more green vegetal notes. You have diffusers.
Ooh.
Industrial method where agave is shredded before cooking, rapidly extracting sugars but yielding milder flavors. The application here can vary by distillery. Diffusers use water in high pressures to shred. But they also use, let's see, let me go back. Diffusers use water in high pressure to shred, but also to use some of that water at high temp to essentially boil the tequila, which softens the fibers enough to extract the sugars, but doesn't release as much sugar, as much flavor from the sugars. For step four, you crush the agave plant, where you're going to extract the juice right out of the piña. Using the tahona or a stone wheel, which is a volcanic stone wheel that crushes agave, preserves all those complex flavors. There's roller mills and mechanical shredders that shred and press agave quickly, resulting in lighter flavors. Then step five, ferment the juice. The yeast convert the juice into alcohol. They'll use open air fermentation as one way where the traditional method using open vats that encourages wild yeast growth, which adds complex terroir-driven flavors. Not exclusive to wild yeasts, but it increases evaporation. The increased evaporation can lead to lighter aromas, and it's a more controlled environment for temperature. They also use closed fermentation with added yeasts. Quicker and more consistent way to do it, but less complex in flavor. You get more concentrated aromas that can sometimes overheat, and the closed fermentation tends to be less vulnerable to losing flavor in its controlled vats or tanks. Can still be really complex in flavor. Really, that depends on whether it's being fermented in oak or stainless steel. With agave fibers, it tends to operate similarly to a closed fermentation system. The fibers create a seal over the top of the fermented juices while also making it susceptible to nearby agriculture like fruit trees and flowers. Fermentation with agave fibers, which adds earthy flavors and richness. Variables in that are open or closed systems with or without fibers, wild or natural yeast, with all you can control the preferred aroma and flavor. Now, step six, distill the alcohol. The alcohol is distilled twice to produce clear silver tequila. Copper pot stills are common in small batch production, providing rich and smooth flavor. Copper is a catalyst for chemical reactions that remove sulfur compounds and undesirable flavors from the distillate. This helps produce a smoother, cleaner spirit. In stainless steel stills, you'll get neutral flavors, ideal for making really large batches. Commonly, also a type of continuous distillation, which can often be the reason the spirit ends up with a neutral flavor. Each column holds panels which are placed intentionally to correct an undesired characteristic, which is subject to the master distiller's preference. Double distillation, standard for tequila, which ensures purity. Some tequilas undergo a third distillation for extra smoothness. Now, step seven, that's the aging process. Tequila is aged in oak barrels to develop flavor and color. The containers can vary from as small as 200 liter barrels, which is more commonly used for craft tequila producers, to 20,000 liter pipones, aka large oak vats, often used by mass producing companies. Okay, here are those very common terms that you usually need when describing a tequila product. Blanco, that's unaged or lightly rested for pure agave flavors. They can technically be aged up to 2 months. Anything over 2 months would be a reposado. Most companies just don't find it necessary to even use the term blanco. Reposado, which is aged at least 2 months, adding mild oak notes. You also have añejo. Añejo is aged at least 1 year, yielding richer, more complex flavors. There's also extra añejo, which is aged 3 years or more, resulting in deep, nuanced flavors. Authentic tequila must adhere to strict Mexican regulations to protect its quality and consistency. Denomination of Origin, or DO. Only tequila produced in designated regions, Jalisco and parts of Guanajuato, Michoacán, Nayarit, and Tamaulipas, can be labeled as tequila. The Tequila Regulatory Council, the CRT, ensures standards for authenticity and quality are met. CRT regulation limits all tequila production to the use of additives. A max of 1% of total volume can be added. Any more would need to be stated on the bottle. The CRT recently began to provide additive-free tequilas with the seal, but that's still in the very beginning stages. Tequila Norma Oficial Mexicana, or NOM. Each certified tequila has a NOM number on its label, guaranteeing its origin and quality.
Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate going over a lot of the process, you know, for creating tequilas, because, you know, it's really these regimented steps that really, you know, a lot of people count on. And a lot of those modern techniques are probably the most dominant, you know, characteristics, whether using autoclaves or shredders. So, hey, we'll be right back right after this message.
Reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, welcome back to Sip Suds and Smokes. Today's episode is an Agave 101 episode, and we just went over some background about tequila and all the production techniques that are regimented, you know, as part of the process of producing tequila very consistently. So Carrie Ann's going to tell us about the product we're going to go over, which is a Punta Agave.
Punta Agave. But first, I wanted to mention that one of the types of tequila we didn't mention is a Cristalino, and more of those are coming out on the market now. And that's basically an agave tequila that's been filtered to remove that color from the barrel and just put back out as a clear spirit. But it'll be labeled Cristalino so that you know that it actually has been aged. It's just removed the color from the barrel. FYI. So this tequila that we're tasting is Punta Agave, and tequila is a very regulated product where everything that goes into it is very defined. So all of the conforming elements make it easier for consumers to navigate those labels. The NOM or NOM on the label is the key to unlock specifically who distilled that product. There might be a NOM that is producing 86 different labels, so you can kind of trace back and find out where your specific brand is coming from. So now it's time for more drinking, less teaching. We have gone for a craft producer, Punta Agave, and this is just a 100% blue agave tequila. It is a gorgeous little example of that agave. This one is produced out of Jalisco. It is 80 proof. It is 100% agave. It is baked in an autoclave, and the juice is extracted via a roller mill.
Crushed.
Crushed.
What are your tasting notes on this?
I would go back to saying this is just a really great example of the agave. You can really taste the difference between what the sotol brings into the spirit and what blue agave brings into the spirit with these two.
So a lot, there's a, you know, a lot fuller body, you know, I think in tequila itself, and the intensity of the peppers are definitely a lot more pronounced. It's a very sweet nose. I wrote the, actually it's a lot of sugar and peppers in the mid palate. You know, it's just super squeaky clean, mm-hmm. you know, is the way I would describe it more than anything. There's just like,
it's got such a nothing beautiful getting mouthfeel. In the
way, you know, it's literally a blank canvas is the way I would describe it.
Yeah. Like, great example of a really pure expression of agave of from where it comes mm-hmm. from.
I mean, there are some tequilas that they add the glycerin and it really fills up your mouth. This has such a beautiful mouthfeel, knowing that it's not glycerin, and it is just, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, I got some nice sage, citrus rind notes, and then a little bit of olive towards the end, which was really Ooh. Cool. It's a journey.
Well, get a tequila martini.
Sips rating here yeah. for the Punto exactly. Agave is going to be a 4.
That's classified.
All right. So we're going to swing around and talk about one of the more, another popular style of agave spirits, which is mezcal. I'm going to share with you, you know, some of the background here on this as well.
I'm just going to argue for a minute that everything we're tasting is a mezcal and tequila is a type of mezcal and move on.
That's okay. I think that's nothing wrong with that.
One of the issues that frustrates consumers is navigating such variety with mezcal. I think one of the most common misconceptions is that all mezcal is smoked, and that is just simply not true. The best way I can tell people to approach mezcal is akin to wine. Every season brings a different harvest, and the terroir or the slope of the land alone can heavily influence flavor profiles. That means that things taste different at the bottom of the hill than they do at the top of the hill. So mezcals are typically blended in a batch, and there are huge variations with each batch. So if you think about wine, where the terroir, the harvest, and the blend all create a designation of that winemaker's blend, for mezcal, he'd be called a maestro, and then all of that moves to be called a vintage. Now, to make it even more challenging, some of the yields are very small, meaning that you'll taste a mezcal to find that, I really love this. And yet there's very little of it, and you'll likely not find another bottle of it after that as well. I also think it's why most restaurants don't put mezcal on the menu, because of this variation, which doesn't always make for a good dining experience. And yet, it is oh so worth the chase, just like wine. Now, oddly, the first thing I lean into with mezcal when I talk about it is the production process. You know, there's only a handful of things to remember, and there's basically only 3 designations. So the first one is just called mezcal, which means it's actually coming from a domain of origin designated for mezcal. Now, I'm going to butcher at least half of these towns, so feel free to get a good laugh going. Well, the first one I got, Oaxaca. Then there's Guerrero, Guanto, Michoacán, Zacatecas. Whew. Boy, I butchered that one really good. San Luis Potosí, Tamaulipas, Durango, and Pueblo. Go ahead. Laugh it up. You can, I'll wait here. The next one is called Mezcal Artisanal. This means that mostly the process is actually not using modern technology or methods. Now, the cook of the piña can be with an autoclave, but the still has to still be with copper or clay. And the maceration of the cooked piña itself can be with a maceration mill. And then the final designation is called mezcal artisanal. Oh, I'm sorry, mezcal ancestral. Wow. Now, I call this the donkey walk version because you're going to strip away nearly anything modern. A donkey actually pulls a tahona to...